It's time for Northwestern Outdoors Radio, the show focusing on fishing, hunting, outdoor recreation, destinations, and conservation in the region where you live and play. Northwestern Outdoors is brought to you by Max Lure Company, Sportsman's Warehouse, and Wallowa County. And now, let's see what's going on in the field and on the water with your host, John Cruz.
Welcome to the last show of 2020. It's a time to look back, and boy, oh boy, what a year it's been. Between politics and coronavirus, I think I'm not alone in saying good riddance to 2020. And that goes to some of the things that happened to us as outdoors enthusiasts, too. Think about it. When the pandemic started back in March, we were all told to stay at home, and you saw the federal government and states closing parks, national forests, and public lands that we normally would recreate on. Heck, my home state of Washington went a big step further, call it a leap further than that, and made what I think most people would agree was a really, really bad decision to outlaw fishing and hunting in the Evergreen State for over 6 weeks. A decision that got a lot of pushback, and rightly so, because now we know that when it comes to transmitting COVID, being outdoors is probably the best place to be to avoid getting it as long as you're socially distanced. And let's face it, the vast majority of us that are fishing, hunting, hiking, boating, paddling, or camping, we do that to social distance. Once things did open up again, people were all about spending time outdoors. Not just those of us who consider being outside part of our reason for being, but folks who hadn't been on the water or at the campground for a while, and a whole slew of newcomers too. Personally, I think it's a good thing when it comes to more participation in these activities because it makes more folks become better stewards of nature when they take the time to experience it. Though I've got to admit, things were a bit crowded out there at times this summer. This week on the show, we're going to start off in western Montana, where Mike Howe, the man behind the Perch Assault Ice Fishing Tournament circuit, will tell us how the first event of the year went earlier this month and where tournaments are taking place later this winter in northwestern Montana. Tournaments you're welcome to fish in, by the way, in lakes you'll want to know about if you like catching some really big yellow perch. If you want to know how to catch those perch, Bob Loomis will give you some ideas about what to use during an extended max minute, and then we'll get a chance to catch up with Cam Perry. He's the host of the local outdoors radio show Hooked on Oregon, which is broadcast on our affiliate KWRO AM 630 out of Coos Bay every Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. Cam will give us an Oregon Coast and Coos County Outdoors report. And speaking of reports, we've also got the 2021 Columbia River Salmon Forecast for you later in the program. And I know a bunch of you are going to want to know how things are looking, not only on the Big Sea, but as tributaries too, when it comes to expected runs of Chinook, Coho, Sockeye, and more. Last but not least, I think you're really going to enjoy our conversation with Jeff Berkby. He's the man who has authored not one, but two Falcon guidebooks about where to find and enjoy hot springs in Washington and Oregon. That's one book. His other book covers Montana and Wyoming, and he's going to give you some ideas about some unique places in these states you may want to visit to enjoy a warm, therapeutic soak on a cold winter day. All right, without further ado, let's get this show rolling. We'll do it the same way we always do, with David Sparks and Sportsman Spotlight.
Remembering a legacy innovator, David Sparks, Sportsman Spotlight. The fishing industry lost a true giant of the sport. Ronald John Lindner, age 86, of Baxter, Minnesota, passed away peacefully in his home, surrounded by his family. Ron was an epic entrepreneur driven by an infectious passion for fishing. He and his younger brother, Al, were true pioneers in the era of modern fishing and left their indelible mark on the fishing industry. The brothers brought a scientific approach to angling that helped them evolve into elite tournament fishermen. The pair developed the Lindy Tackle Company and invented the Lindy Rig, which many of you know about, used by millions of walleye anglers. They went on to create a fishing media empire that they began with the In Fisherman magazine and expanded into radio, television, books, and more. Then on to Lindner Media Productions, which spawned Lindner's Angling Edge and an outcropping of subsidiaries. Ron Lindner was considered to be the godfather of modern-day anglers, and many in the fishing industry were blessed to have worked with and been mentored by him over the past four decades. I'm David Sparks. We will see you next time.
This is Bob. I can show you how to make $1,000 a day.
This is an alert. In 2018, 48 billion robocalls were placed to cell phones, and nearly 50% of those were scam-related. Scammers want money, personal information, and sensitive identity information. They use insurance and free vacation gimmicks as tools to get your cash and identities. Farmers, you have even more to lose when it comes to scams. Identity theft can really damage the day-to-day operations of the farm when your personal information is tied to farm accounts. If you're buying or selling items online, such as farm equipment, expect and know how to spot a potential scam. Watch for area codes that aren't local and make no sense. Another tip, scammers don't know farm lingo, so feel them out. Since robocalls are the number one complaint to the Federal Communications Commission, the U.S. Senate is now discussing a bill to make robocalls a criminal action, which would stop the calls. We urge you to call your senator today. Robocalls are robber calls.
Sure hope you outdoorsmen have enjoyed this episode of Sportsman Spotlight.
Hey guys, stop. Grab your bait and listen. Ice is on the lake, so we're going fishing. With me is my best friend Mike. We're hitting Lake Boygan for the trophy fight.
Will I catch a perch?
Hey, I guess so. I got some new jigs and a brand new Zebco. I loaded up the truck with all my new gear.
Mike, next up on Northwestern Outdoors Radio, we are going to talk to Mike Howe. He is the co-founder of the Perch Assault. This is an ice fishing tournament series based in Montana, though they do sometimes venture a little bit from there. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. Great to be back.
Mike, I understand right now you're actually not in your home state. You're in the neighboring state of North Dakota. You just got back from an ice fishing trip. I'll let you decide if you want to tell me the lake or not, but whether you do or not, I definitely want to know how the fishing was.
Yeah, I'm actually over just a little bit north of Devil's Lake, North Dakota. We're spreading our wings a little bit, John. You know, I've been outfitting in Montana for almost 12 years now, and have a lot of friends here in this area of North Dakota. Love it over here, not just for the fishing, but, you know, for the bird hunting and everything else. So I almost every year come and ice fish over here on our way to and from the big St. Paul ice fishing show, which was canceled this year.
Right.
But I'm going to be deterred from coming over here and fishing. So here we are.
And how did the fishing go today?
You know, it's a little blustery out there. I know wind in North Dakota don't always go hand in hand, but it's 18 and blowing about 25.
Oh.
But caught a few northerns, caught a few perch, some real nice perch, and the crappie were elusive this morning.
Well, Mike, you're a better man than me when it comes to heading out into the cold and saying you're having fun holding a fishing rod over the ice in weather like that. Let's talk a little bit about the Perch Assault. You've actually already had your first tournament. It took place December 12th at Smith Lake in northwest Montana. Understand you had a full 50 anglers. Was it 50 anglers or 50 teams of anglers participating?
50 teams, John. And, you know, we've backed off a little bit to 50 teams maximum with the Perch Assault because we're really kind of getting back to our roots of dedicated anglers that are very serious about perch fishing. The price for entry has gone up a little bit. This is on a par, John, with any professional or semi-professional event across the U.S., whether it's bass tournaments, walleye tournaments, or things of that nature. It just happens to take place in winter through the ice, and it's for yellow perch. And a lot of people look at yellow perch as a nuisance fish, but we're talking an average of over a pound for fish for the top five teams.
I saw that the winning team of two anglers, they brought in five fish, total weight 6.67 pounds. I mean, that is absolutely incredible in terms of girth and size. To catch one of those would make anybody's day. To catch five of those, that's just off the charts.
And then catch 10 or 15 and have to whittle them down to five can be even tougher when you're dealing with ounces. But, John, these guys are bringing postal scales out onto the ice, keeping them warm in bags, and they are measuring these fish down. We go to the tenth of an ounce in the Perch Assault, but sometimes when these guys are finding their best five, they're going down to hundredths of an ounce to get their best fish.
That is incredible. So, again, there was 50 teams that paid $150 entry fee. The winning team, 5 fish, 6.67 pounds of yellow perch. What did that team win, and who were they?
I knew you were going to ask me that, and I've been scrambling through to find the exact out. But I want to say it was probably about $1,600 split two ways, because we do take a significant piece of that entry fee and put it towards the championship. It's a 3-event series with a championship as well. So 3 individual events with day money, one of them being a 2-day event, and then the championship at the end. So first place, these guys show up on a regular basis. They were our champions a couple years back. Steve Schenck and Terry Riley, 6.67 pounds of fish. Second place had 6.62 pounds.
Wow.
So five, you know, a half an ounce between the two teams. And then third place had just over 6 at 6.08. 6.01 for fourth place and 5.98. for fifth place. So that's the kind of stuff that gives the scale master gray hairs, because I did it for a lot of years. I promise you, there was quite a few of those where you really want to hope you got it right, that the scale was accurate for everybody.
That's something. That, I mean, to have a tournament that close is really something. So that was the first one. That one's in the books. And folks, you now know that Smith Lake in Northwest Montana, very good destination for big perch. Next one coming up, February 6th and 7th. That's at the Thompson Lakes near Libby. And then March 13th, Lake Mary Ronan, also in Northwest Montana. Tell us a little bit about these two fisheries.
Sure. So Thompson Chain of Lakes is comprised of 7 or 8 lakes. We typically focus on Middle Thompson and Upper Thompson. Lower Thompson, also a great perch fishery. This year, I think Chancey's got a surprise up his sleeve where he's not going to release the individual lake until the week beforehand. So teams are going to have to fishing all 3 of those lakes for him to determine a week beforehand exactly which lake we're going to fish. And a lot of times that's ice conditions, et cetera. This year being a 2-day event, then we will fish 2 of those lakes, 2 of the 3. But typically in the past, he picks the lake about a week beforehand.
And are the Thompson Lakes, are these also lakes where you can, you know, it's going to take 1+ pound fish and a bag limit of 5 of them to come out as the winner?
These other lakes, John, we do your best 10 fish.
Okay.
Smith Lake, special fishery. So what we worry about with Smith Lake, and these are the things, again, that have kept us up at night for the last 15, 16 years, we never want a team to get too much of a jump out of the first event. So we do 5 fish at Smith, because when we do go to the Thompsons and Lake Mary Ronan, it will be less bag limits. So we have to be careful that we don't give anybody a 10-pound lead right out of the gate.
Gotcha.
It'd be really hard to catch up if that's the case.
Okay, so we know where these 3 are taking place. When and where is the championship, or is that a closely guarded secret?
So the championship is just determined of your, you know, the best, your sequence of points out of the 3 different events. So we, like I said, we'll have Smith Lake was a 1-day. Thompson's will be a Saturday and Sunday event. And then the final event will be a 1-day event. Day money paid at every day of those events. And then the championship is awarded on your best finishes. That's why we're careful about Smith. Since they are such big fish, we only let you weigh 5.
Okay. So there's not an extra tournament on top of it. It's just after the 3, you figure out who the champion is based on total weight over the 3 series.
That's correct. We've talked about doing some sudden death, or, you know, the top 10 teams advance to a final championship event. But there's just only so many weekends
right
in the wintertime. Else going on. A fourth event, a fourth weekend is a challenge for everybody concerned. But we do have the 1 2-day event. So if you don't fish both of those days, you're probably going to fall out of the top 10.
So I understand that you're limiting each of these day tournaments to 50 teams. But can anybody listening today who's got a buddy that enjoys fishing with him or her, can they register and take part in one of these upcoming tournaments at the Thompson Lakes or at Lake Mary Ronan?
Absolutely. They can go to our website, John, which is purchasealt.com, and download the entry forms and the rules and send those in. We do have a deadline of the Thursday before the event to get your entries in. But absolutely. And, you know, some of the teams that fished out there on Smith Lake, they may be a one-time deal. Sometimes folks get discouraged. Sometimes schedules just don't line up. But I promise you that there's 15 or 20 teams that are in it, probably have entered all of them in advance, but absolutely welcome to anyone. And we love to see new faces all the time, but you do got to get your entry in because there is a cutoff of 50 teams.
All right. It is tournament ice fishing for perch. It is definitely a thing in Western Montana, and you can participate as well. Just go to perchassault.com. That's the website to find out more, perchassault.com, and head out onto the ice this winter for some really big yellow perch. Mike, thanks for sharing this with us today on Northwestern Outdoors Radio.
Always a pleasure, John. We look forward to talking to you again in the new year.
If I want to eat crepe, I got to catch dinner. Drop my line in the hole with the minnow in the spinner. Ice fish, baby. I want to ice fish, baby.
Hunting and fishing are exercises in hope. Before you head into the woods, you hope to tag out on a deer you'll have to field dress. Before you make that first cast, you hope for a big fish to clean and fillet. When your hopes are realized, you'll need a sharp knife. Whether you sharpen that blade on a power sharpener in the shop or a manual sharpener in the field, WorkSharp has the tool for you. Look for WorkSharp products in sporting goods stores near you or online at WorkSharpTools.com.
We're back with more of the great outdoors on Northwestern Outdoors Radio with John Cruz.
It's time for another winter edition of your Max Minute. And with us again to talk a little more about ice fishing is Bob Loomis. Bob, welcome back.
Thank you, John.
So let's talk about the sonic bait fish. It's a great crippled fish lure that you can use. It's got some heft to it. But you've got some hacks that you use specifically for ice fishing. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more?
Well, John, you know, there's so many different ways that you can fish this lure. You can fish it off the front in one direction, you can fish it off the back, or you can put it on the middle pole point on the back and fish it like a blade bait. So there's different ways to fish it. There's also different ways to rig it up once you've got it set up. One of the things that we do is we take our glow hook and we'll tie like 2 inches off the back of the sonic, fish it off the pole point in the middle on the back like a blade bait, and then you've got this glow hook that's about 2 inches back behind it, and it flutters back behind it. Oh, I'm going to tell you what, it works phenomenal for triggering. I've used it a lot like this for perch.
And so this is a Cascade Lake offering.
Oh, yeah, exactly. All right. Exactly.
Well, just looking at your sonic bait fish, you know, I'm used to fishing some of the bigger ones, especially for species like walleye, but
yeah,
you've got them all the way down to 1/16 of an ounce, which is just perfect for panfish.
Oh, it works phenomenal for, you know, fishing by itself, tipped with a little bit of bait, with scent, you know, whatever. Yeah, they work very, very well. 1/16 all the way up to 1 ounce.
All right. It's a sonic bait fish. You can fish it right out of the box, and it works great. Or you can go ahead and use some of these hacks, like Bob just told you about. No matter what you do, it's going to likely catch some fish under the ice for you this winter. You can find the sonic bait fish at sporting goods stores near you or online anytime at maxlure.com.
That's the sound you hear when a fish hits the new sonic bait fish from Max Lure Company. This metal lure can be cast, trolled, or jigged, and will catch just about anything that swims in the sea, the river, or the lake. The sonic bait fish has a unique vibration and flutter that can be rigged in 7 different ways. With all sorts of eye-catching colors and weights available, you'll be reaching for the sonic bait fish as your go-to lure. It's the sonic bait fish. Only from Max Lure Company.
If your favorite season is deer, if your favorite salad is meat salad, if your favorite gifts come wrapped in fur or scales, if you're dreaming of a white and camo Christmas, then you'd fit right in at Sportsman's Warehouse. And lucky for you, Sportsman's is offering amazing deals all season long. So visit your local store or go online to sportsmans.com and gear up for an unforgettable holiday.
Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on Earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats. It's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at AlaskasBestLodge.com.
You're back in with Northwestern Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We've got Cam Perry on the line. He's the host of Hooked on Oregon, heard Thursdays from 3 to 5 p.m. on KWRO AM 630 and FM 101.1 out of Coos Bay, which also airs our show, Northwestern Outdoors Radio, during the weekend. Cam, great to have you on the air again.
Well, gosh, John, it's wonderful to be with you. Merry Christmas.
And I hope you had a Merry Christmas as well. Let's talk about your new digs. I understand you recently moved from Charleston to a riverfront ranch on the Coquille River. Tell us more about that.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's something we've always dreamed about, John, and we were just kind of blessed to be able to get this place. We're up on the North Fork. We're just up out of the little town of Fairview, and where we have the Four Corners store is our town. and we're a few miles up past that. We're up past Laverne Park, about a mile and a half, and on a beautiful section of the North Fork. It's fantastic fly fishing water, and it's just, I keep, shaking my head going, wow, this is just great. Great to be here, and wonderful neighbors, incredible people, and a million stars at night, and we kind of miss that out at the coast, because you usually have fog in the evening, so it's fun to be up in the star country again, where you can see the sky.
Well, it sounds like you've been blessed indeed. How's the fishing there? Are we talking trout and steelhead or something else?
Oh, it's actually, really good. Laverne Park is really the jewel one of the jewels in Coos County's park system. And it's really kind of a local secret. It's just this beautiful park where you can camp, and they can bring in your trailer. And it's right on the river. So the river's literally out your back door where you're camping. And it's a wonderful place to fish for steelhead. That's probably one of the better fisheries. And then, of course, trout when trout season opens. But they get a really pretty good run of steelhead up here. And they do get salmon up here. They get both Chinook and Coho. But you have to kind of look at what the regs say during the season. But for locals, it's a well-known place for steelhead. And one of the fun tips I'll give you is that we've found, guys who like to fish roe up here for steelhead and for salmon, the best advice we can give you on preparing the roe is just to use good old-fashioned cherry jello and borax. You don't need a real fancy, pre-done mix. But there's something about that cherry jello that I think it outfishes any other type of cured roe about 8 or 10 to 1. So stick that in the back of your pocket.
I had no idea. That is a great pro tip. And thanks for letting our listeners know about Laverne Park, too. This is kind of a tough time of year. The only hunting that's really going on is waterfowl hunting. Crabbing is a little bit slow right now because there's so much fresh water flowing into the bays. And so those crabs are retreating into the deeper water. But it is storm watching time. And I understand that there's been a sighting of something that seems to trigger storms in your area.
Well, yeah, storm watching is just wonderful. And for those who want to come to Coos County, it doesn't get any better than that. Shore Acres is a great place to watch for these giant waves. And they break against the rocks, and they'll get 120 feet or higher. And it's a good idea when you're storm watching, be in a safe place. And Shore Acres is one of those places. The Overlook at Beach Loop down in Bandon is great. Whiskey Run Beach is great. But not that long ago, we had a sighting, and one of the first ones in a number of years, of the Cadborosaurus. And that was off of Whiskey Run Reef. And that is supposed to be the last living sea monster off the Oregon coast. They say it's more serpent-like than the Loch Ness Monster and gets up to 60 feet in length, has a long neck, like 8 or 9 feet, that comes out of the water, and a camel-like head. So I've never seen it, of course, but I'll tell you, it's one of those fun things to be on the lookout for, because the few times that Caddy, it is affectionately nicknamed, has shown up, out of all of them, I'd say 7 or 8 out of 10 have been in stormy weather. So when you're out there looking for these big waves, keep your eye out for Caddy. And if you can snap a picture or a video, boy, you're going to go gold on YouTube immediately.
I love these legends of these sea monsters, and they all seem to be kind of the same, whether it's the Loch Ness Monster in Scotland or Okopogo up at Lake Okanagan in British Columbia, or Caddy, like you just described. So who knows? Maybe such a thing exists out there, and maybe one of you will be lucky enough to see it. A question for you. It is typically a very slow time of year for outdoors tourism, and on top of that, we've got COVID going on, but outdoors recreation was off the charts this summer. How is it now in Coos County?
It's amazing, John. You would think that it would really dampen, you know, outdoors use and the excitement for going outdoors. But I think what it's done is it turned it completely around, where it's exactly the opposite, where everybody is so tired of being cooped up that they want to get out and enjoy the outdoors. And I think storm watching has been at all-time highs. You know, the number of people enjoying the coast, if I judge by traffic down in Charleston, our little fishing village, there's been a lot of people there all through the holidays. Holiday season, it's really kind of a wonderful thing because, especially in Oregon, you have all this beautiful, accessible coast and these wonderful places to see. And people have really been getting out there and enjoying it. And we had lunch at Tony's Crab Shack the other day down in Bandon. And, well, I'll tell you, there were a lot of people there waiting for their takeout, for their crab sandwich, which was fun. It meant a lot of people were out enjoying the Oregon coast.
It's funny how, as the pandemic unfolded, first off, we really weren't allowed to go anywhere in terms of public access areas, whether they were state lands or federal lands, because they want everyone to stay home. But then they started opening things up again, and the first people to go were people who were buying or renting RVs a lot of time for the first time, because they felt safe in these self-contained vehicles where they could go vacation. And then it just exploded from there, and it's just never really slowed down, whether it's anglers going back to fishing or trying it for the first time. Hunter participation, I understand, is up 9% for the first time in years. And again, RV sales through the roof, camping through the roof. It's just gone crazy during COVID.
Oh, yeah, you know, and like I said, our hunter participation is, boy, it's been tremendous. I know that we're just finishing up our black powder season, and there's been good participation in that. We've had a number of people that drew tags this year, especially for elk, and out and about and enjoying it. We see everybody up in this neck of the woods in their SUVs, because we got a lot of public land up this way, up by Moon Creek, and it's wonderful to see people out enjoying it, and I think in a lot of ways, it's brought families a lot closer together. And if there's a silver lining in all this, that's certainly one of them.
So we've got steelhead fishing on the Coquille River. We've got storm watching along the coast. What's something else that you think ought to draw folks to Coos County and the southern central Oregon coast during the winter months?
Well, you know, clamming is an awful lot of fun, and especially if you've never done it, there's real easy places to get down and go clamming all around the little town of Charleston. So it just really, watch the tide book. One of the best clams we have down there is the Martha Washington, and that's a big clam. That's a hand-sized clam almost on some of them. And what we like to do with them, Kendra, my wife, has a great recipe where you grind the clams, and then you saute shallots and ground mushrooms in butter. And then you mix that up with the ground clam, and you pat that back into the shell, and then you sprinkle across the top of your mixture panko and a little bit of dill and a pat of butter you put on top of that, and then you just put it in the oven in the broiler until that panko is just brown on top. And oh my gosh, is that wonderful. So I definitely go for the clamming, because the clams are great this time of year.
Cam, you literally have me salivating. This is so unfair. We unfortunately have to go. I don't ever get to talk to you enough, and when I do, the time just flies. But folks, again, Cam is the host of Hooked on Oregon. It's really the only local outdoor show that is left in the state of Oregon. It's a great show. You can hear it Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. on KWRO AM 630 and FM 101.1 out of Coos Bay. He's on every week, and he's sharing the outdoors with you just like he's sharing it with us today. Cam, I hope you have a very happy new year, and I look forward to talking to you again on Northwestern Outdoors Radio.
Hey, John, here's hoping that 21 is going to be the best year yet for all of us. You take care and have a wonderful new year, too.
The Bedalsen, Oregon is your base camp for fishing fun. Reel in big salmon, tangle with steelhead, bass, and walleye, or wrestle a monster sturgeon to the boat. After the day is done, you'll find a variety of lodging options around town. Need to resupply? We've got you covered with sporting goods stores plus great dining, breweries, wineries, and can't-miss attractions like the Gorge Discovery Center. Plan your fishing getaway today at explorethedalles.com. That's explorethedalles.com.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
Welcome back to Northwestern Outdoors Radio. It is winter. It is cold. And I don't know about you, but soaking in a hot spring somewhere sounds like a real nice thing to do. That's why we've got Jeff Berkby on the line. He is the author of two books from Falcon Guides, Touring Hot Springs, Washington and Oregon, and Touring Hot Springs, Montana and Wyoming. Jeff, I hope you had a great Christmas. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. It's great to be here.
So let's start off with the premise that hot springs in the winter are a wonderful thing to enjoy, but then we have to kind of turn it on its ear, because you've got all these suggestions in your books, but getting to some of these places is really hard in the winter. And number two, we've got this whole COVID pandemic going on, so some of these places you can't even get to this time of year because of that, right?
Where you can go has really changed in the last 12 months, as much as society has too. But the pandemic has really changed the way hot springs owners operate their resorts, and restrictions in the backcountry and their closures by the Park Service and others have really narrowed the window down to where you can soak in the winter in the West.
Well, we're going to get through it anyway, because I know you've got a few suggestions for us where we can go this winter. Before we get there, though, let's talk a little bit about your two books, Touring Hot Springs, Washington, Oregon, Touring Hot Springs, Montana and Wyoming. What are readers going to find there besides some descriptions of places they can soak in?
You know, John, one thing I love more than anything is the history and the social history and the old legends and miracle cures and the stories. And every hot springs in the West has old articles or something in a library about how hot springs were used back in the 1800s and early 1900s. And I love reading about how the settlers came from the West. And often these hot springs were the social centers for early pioneer Oregon, Washington, and Montana. And they were the place where a farmer or a gold miner could get a hot bath on a Friday night. And so they became centers of social connection. And I love those stories and the histories. And I put a lot of those in my book. So I really have a good historical background that you can read while you're soaking in the hot water.
Another thing I like about your books, I've been leafing through the Touring Hot Springs, Washington, Oregon, and you've got the very well-developed hot springs, like you find at Solduck Hot Springs and Belknap Hot Springs, but you've got some incredibly rustic ones too, and one that stood out was out in the Oregon desert near the Heart Mountains, and what was it? Basically a big, almost like a stock tank that could seat like four people or so?
Yeah, there's one that's called Fisher Hot Springs, I believe, is the one you're talking to, that it's just an old iron stock tank that you can soak in. There's a hose there. You can fill it up and soak out in the middle of nowhere. And it's on a public property, so you can legally soak there. And there are a few others like that around the West where you get a real sense of wilderness and escape and get out and not have to deal with the crowds sometimes. I do advise people in my books that, you know, if you really want to try to have a hot springs to yourself, that, you know, if you try to go in the middle of the week in the early morning, you're much more likely to have a place to yourself than on a summer weekend in July.
Right, right.
So timing's important.
Very good advice. Well, I know a lot of folks would love to soak in a hot spring at this time of year. Let's go ahead and run through a couple of destinations in the four different states that you cover. We'll start off in the evergreen state of Washington. What's a place you'd recommend this time of year?
Again, we got the filters of both the pandemic and the snow. And the other one, too, that we have to worry about a little bit is the fires we had last summer in both Oregon and Washington. It did damage some of the hot springs we have that are now closed to be repaired, as well as some of the roads leading to them had trees that burned and fell on the road. And then they're doing a lot of repairs on the road. So it's narrowed our window quite a bit. And some hot springs, one of my favorite ones actually is Solback Hot Springs Resort in the Olympic National Park near Port Angeles, just above the Ho Rainforest. And it has been closed because of COVID, as well as several other national park hot springs have been closed because of the COVID interest. So I would caution anyone to call ahead no matter what I say today. Always call and see if the resort is open, because they're changing again. As we know, restrictions are coming back in and out. But I would also really recommend Solduck down the road when it reopens. What I know that is open right now is Carson Hot Springs, which is in the Columbia Gorge on the Washington side of the river, about an hour east of Portland. And it's got an old history, an old hotel from the 1900s, but a lot of modern resort issues there too. But just wonderful old style soaking tubs, iron soaking tubs, and then they wrap you in these hot, warm towels afterwards, and you sit there in these cots and you sweat out all your troubles, and then you soak again. And that's the one I would recommend. It's Carson Hot Springs, east of Portland in the Columbia Gorge.
Oh, that sounds absolutely fabulous. Let's head south to Oregon. What's one you'd recommend in the Beaver State?
Two I'd recommend. One is called Crane Hot Springs near Burns in eastern Oregon, and there's so many wonderful hot springs on the east side of the Cascades. Another one to keep your eye on that's a little secret is Hot Lake Hot Springs and Hot Lake Hotel near La Grande. And there are two new owners who are just finishing up the remodeling of this historical hotel from the 1880s. Beautiful old building. And I really recommend people keep an eye on that for this later this spring when it reopens.
Oh, I'd never heard of that. I definitely will. Okay. Mm-hmm. How about Montana, your home state?
There's so many in Montana. The two that I know they're open that are really nice to get to right now, one is called White Sulphur Springs, the town of White Sulphur Springs, just about an hour east of Helena. It's just really redolent with sulfur. The sulfur smell is really strong, but it leaves this really silky smooth on your skin from soaking in it. So that's what I love to go to. And an old hotel called Boulder Hot Springs, north of Butte, Montana, from the 1900s, the old classical elegant resort. It just reeks of history. That's a great one to visit, too. And it's open, I know.
I always tell people that I have the best job in the world because I get to talk about hunting and fishing, but I'm starting to think that maybe you've topped me because you get to talk about and write about soaking in hot springs all over the Northwest. You've got a pretty good gig there, Jeff.
I've actually had a couple of people come up to me that were kind of angry at me. They said, so you make a living going to hot springs and soaking in them?
I love it. I love it. You know, in your Montana, Wyoming book, you actually cover some hot springs in Yellowstone. I think most of us, when we think of Yellowstone, we always think, don't go in those thermal areas because A, you're not allowed to, and B, it's dangerous. But there are a couple places you can go to.
Yeah, in my Montana, Wyoming hot springs guide, I cover about half a dozen hot springs where it's legal for you to soak. And the Park Service does not promote it or advertise it, but you can legally soak in the park where the effluent or the outflow from a geyser or a hot springs goes into a cold river. And that mixing area is legal to soak there at the park's discretion. Sometimes it's still a little too fragile, but there's at least half a dozen places right now where you can legally soak. Again, I think because of COVID, they've shut down all soaking in the park. But again, hopefully within a year or so, they'll be back to that. So don't be dissuaded. Again, I cover that in my book, and you can call the Park Service and say, where can I go legally now? And it's really wonderful. I've been soaking down there in the evenings when I'll see a buffalo or elk crossing below the river where I'm soaking, and it's just magical to soak down in Yellowstone.
Oh, that does sound fantastic. You know, I hadn't even thought of that whole aspect of soaking in those areas where the thermal water mixes with the cold rushing water of a river, though I guess I have done that once myself down the Owyhee River near Vail,
Oregon.
Oh, yes,
uh-huh. So, right down in eastern Oregon, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so I guess I don't want to sell Wyoming short. There's probably some other hot springs we should talk about there, too.
You know, one of the wonders of Wyoming, we tend to focus on Yellowstone, but there's also the Thermopolis, Wyoming has Hot Springs State Park, and there are five different resorts within the park boundaries, and they have both hotels, but also wonderful pools and places suitable for families. Also, there's a state bathhouse there that's free that the state of Wyoming actually owns, and you can soak there for free, too. So that's a great one to visit. Another one is called Granite Hot Springs, which is a wonderful winter hot springs. It's near Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And you actually can take sled dog tours to get up to the hot springs. They get over 400 inches of snow up there right around. You'll be soaking in this pool with the mountains of snow all around you. Just gorgeous and just wonderful to soak there in the wintertime.
Oh, you are definitely motivating me to go to a hot spring and unwind. So many hot springs, so little time we've got to go. But folks, great advice from Jeff in terms of definitely call first to make sure that any of the hot springs you want to go to are open right now, either because of weather issues or because of pandemic issues. But if you find one, or if you're looking for one, definitely pick up these books, Touring Hot Springs, Washington and Oregon, and Touring Hot Springs, Montana and Wyoming, both full of great ideas and great photographs and great history as well. Definitely some good reads. Jeff, thanks for sharing this with us today and giving us some great ideas on how to get soaking this winter.
Thanks so much, John, and happy soaking to everybody.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers is the voice for your public lands, waters, and wildlife. From the Canadian Yukon to the Florida Everglades, we're stepping up to conserve North America's public lands, defend our hunting and fishing traditions, and expand access to the outdoors. Find out how you can get involved at backcountryhunters.org.
This is the time of year to get out and cook out. So make your next meal sizzle with Camp Chef, the brand known for quality outdoor cooking equipment. To eat like a king on your next adventure, go to CampChef.com or visit your local sporting goods store and get cooking. Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors.
If your favorite season is deer, if your favorite salad is meat salad, if your favorite gifts come wrapped in fur or scales, if you're dreaming of a white and camo Christmas, then you'd fit right in at Sportsman's Warehouse. And lucky for you, Sportsman's is offering amazing deals all season long. So visit your local store or go online to sportsmans.com and gear up for an unforgettable holiday.
Ready to step up to a quality-built rifle or shotgun that's a true classic? Check out Henry Repeating Arms, American-made. There's over 200 models to choose from in a variety of finishes and calibers for hunters and target shooters. Many of these are lever-action models with a look right out of the Old West. Don't be deceived, though. Henry Repeating Arms are modern, rugged, accurate, reliable, and have a lifetime guarantee. Find out more and order a free catalog today at henryusa.com. That's henryusa.com.
We've got time for one more shot of Northwestern Outdoors Radio with John Cruz.
Welcome back. We've got the latest forecast for you when it comes to salmon and more up the Columbia River and its tributaries for 2021. This just came out a week ago, and the good news is that a number of forecasts are better than last year. Slightly better numbers of spring Chinook are expected up the Willamette, the Sandy, and the Cowlitz Rivers, and the Kalama and Lewis could be much better, with 2,200 to 2,400 fish expected to return on these rivers, significantly more, almost double in one case more than last year. However, the overall return for spring Chinook past Bonneville Dam and on the tributaries beyond is again very troubling, with only 75,000 fish predicted to come back, the second lowest year since 1999. And this has me once again scratching my head as to why. Why does the Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission think it's a good idea to put gillnets back in the lower Columbia River next year? I don't get it. However, getting back to the forecast, the numbers do get better from there for Chinook salmon. Nearly 78,000 summer Chinook are expected to head towards the upper Columbia, which is nearly 20% over last year's run. We don't have hard numbers for fall bright Chinook, but biologists expect continued improvement there as well. Coho salmon should see a banner year of young jacks returning, the highest number, in fact, since 1977. The sockeye return, on the other hand, is only expected to be around 156,000 fish, with only 700 heading up the Snake River. That's not good. This is less than half the number that returned last year up the Columbia. However, having said that, sockeye forecasts and actual returns, they don't often seem to match, and quite often the forecasts are much lower than the actual returns. All right, turning from fishing forecast to your Sportsman's Warehouse trivia question of the week. If you didn't get what you wanted for Christmas. Now is the time to take advantage of some after Christmas sales. So head on down to your local Sportsman's Warehouse to make yourself happy after Christmas. Maybe to buy some ammo for a new gun you got, maybe some fishing line for a new reel, or a few lures to cast with that brand new fishing rod. You get the picture. Head on down there this week, or you can shop online anytime at sportsmans.com. All right, your question actually has nothing to do with the outdoors, but it does have everything to do with the new year, because I think just about everybody who has made it through New Year's Eve has heard that traditional song, Auld Lang Syne. Here's your question. What country does this song come from? Is it America? Is it Ireland, or is it Scotland? Go to our Facebook page at Northwestern Outdoors Radio and give us your guess there on the thread where we've got the question, or just go to our website at northwesternoutdoors.com and go to the Contact Us page to give us your answer. One lucky person who guesses right wins that $25 gift card we give away every week from America's Premier Outfitter. We've got to go, and as we do, here's wishing you a safe, healthy and happy 2021. Happy New Year, and make it a point to spend some time outdoors.